الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elders and brothers in Islam, last week we had commenced some discussions with regards to this very, very valuable, very honorable, very esteemed guest. That is the month of Ramadan that we already have commenced with. Today being the second roza, second fast of this Mubarak and blessed month of Ramadan. Now that this guest has already reached us, we were preparing and making dua before to be alive. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. The last part is, O Allah, keep us alive for the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afforded us this ability, this opportunity and the ability now to be alive. Alhamdulillah, those who have no excuse, otherwise everyone else definitely is fasting in this Mubarak month. As when a person now anticipates, a person is anticipating certain very special day in his life or her life. Someone, it could be marriage. Someone, it could be some deal coming through. Some gift to be given upon some celebration or upon some function, etc. When a person receives that, how excited, how ecstatic the person becomes. Now that we've been making a dua, now that Ramadan, we're already into the month of Ramadan. How much more happy, pleased, and how much more should we appreciate this very, very great guest and gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to us. Last week, I spoke on certain important points. I will just highlight it and continue. I spoke about the verse that I just recited now. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Many pointers I mentioned, approximately 25 to 26 minutes I spoke last week. The gist of it was that fasting is compulsory. I even mentioned last week of an incident of a person who actually questioned me and asked me regarding fasting being compulsory or not. In this day and age where you think so many people will have the knowledge of deen, but we find people still questioning this. Then I also spoke about the point of what's the purpose of fasting. And that is what I want to continue upon. That's one of the points I'll speak about today. That Ramadan comes and goes. Every year we hear the same talks. Every year we hear the same reminders. As I said last week and I'm saying it again, these are all reminders to us. We may have heard many things before. The whole idea is then to see how much did we hear, properly hear it by practicing it. As I say in Urdu, amal se zindagi banti hai, jannat bhi jahannam. Through practice, your life is made. Whether jannat or jahannam, but it's by way of practice. Not just by talks. So many talks have been given today that we can even list it on the stock exchange as talks unlimited. So many talks, so many lectures. The whole idea is then to grasp the lessons and practice them. So Ramadan comes and goes. Last week also spoke about many points about donations. Many people today are donating and being very charitable, especially in the month of Ramadan. But I highlighted this point last week. Two points about donations, especially in the month of Ramadan. About that being our wealth. and about being halal. What I spoke about last week, for the benefit of those who are not here, and a reminder to those who are here also, that that wealth must be such that is not someone else's wealth. Where we find people today are stealing, embezzling, committing fraud. People are squeezing the blood out of their creditors and not paying them. People are not giving those orphans and widows what's due to them. But using the same wealth to give donations, build masjids, madrasas, support the poor, the orphans, the widows in Ramadan, give charity, feeding people, halim, etc. As I mentioned last week, I'll say it again, that so much halim is given, especially in the month of Ramadan, that people can even bath in halim certain places. To that level. But what we have to see, what wealth is used to give that
those donations?
What wealth? Is it something that where somebody did not give the dues that are upon them to the creditors, or to his own wife, or to their own husband, or to their own parents and children, or to family people in estates? When it comes to especially the orphans and widows, I spoke about that also. Also about halal, it must be from halal sources. Many people will use haram means. Somebody gambled, somebody embezzled funds, somebody, as I said, have many responsibilities and dues and commitments upon them to pay. But they're using that wealth and giving donations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't accept that donation. إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure, completely pak and pure. He only accepts that wealth which is pure and pak. So that donation a person is giving, not from his own money, or is giving from haram means, income, that won't be accepted in the eyes of Allah. What's the use of giving it? You're getting the popularity and name, or you may think you're doing good, but there's no use to it after that. So I spoke about that also. I spoke about the purpose of fasting, which I will elaborate a bit more today. Also I spoke about dua. In the month of Ramadan, duas are readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mentioned a hadith last week in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs those angels that are carrying his arsh and throne. They are very close to Allah. They are carrying his arsh and throne, hamilin arsh. They are instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say Ameen. What is Ameen? Allahumma stajib. O Allah, accept the dua of these people that are fasting. So while we are fasting, even the angels that are so close to Allah, those farishtas and angels that are close to Allah, so close to Allah, they are saying Ameen to our du'as. Salatul la turaddu da'watu. Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that three people's du'as are never rejected. One is Al-Imam Al-Adil. A person who's a ruler, but a just, straight, honest, upright, pious ruler. Second, As-Sa'im, حين يفطر حتى يفطر. A person who is fasting. Some narrations have at the time of iftar, some have till the time of iftar. Basically, while you're fasting, the du'as are made are definitely accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third, da'watul mazloom. An oppressed person's du'a. A person who's oppressed, male or female, in whichever form it be, but zulm and oppression is done upon that person. In whichever form, in different forms. But that person makes bad du'a. A person curses you. This happened so many times. People have seen in their own lives. So many incidents come into my mind, but time is limited. Where an oppressed person made dua and cursed the person. It could be one laborer, could be a worker, could be a poor person, it could be a widow, could be an orphan, could be a tenant. It could be someone where you think, why are you not coming right in life? I'm trying, I'm doing everything right, but why am I not coming right in certain matters in my life? It could be. The curse and the dua of some person you oppressed in your life. We need to rewind. You say fast forward, rather fast rewind. And check where and which way. My own spouse. Today we forget about that. My own spouse. Husband or wife. my own children, my own parents. Like that, my grandparents, my neighbors, my workers, my tenants, my landlord, my boss. Like that, many other instances could be where we committed zulm and oppression. An oppressed person's dua is readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَرْفَعُهَا اللَّهُ فَوْقَ الْغَمَامِ تُفْتَحُ لَهَا أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَيَقُولُ الرَّبُّ لَأَنْصُرَنَّكَ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينَ. A person who's oppressed, while we're talking on the topic of dua, the hadith explains one more part. So let's end that and then continue. Where an oppressed person is making dua to Allah. Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that يَرْفَعُهَا اللَّهُ فَوْقَ الْغَمَامِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates and grants that dua of an oppressed person a very high and lofty status, where he takes the dua and the supplication and prayer above the clouds. تُفْتَحُ لَهَا أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ. The doors of the skies are open for the dua. وَيَقُولُ الرَّبُّ. Allah then tells and answers that person, oppressed person, because obviously it's from the heart, that hurt of the pain of the heart is now making dua at that time. Allah Ta'ala promises a person, لَأَنْصُرَنَّكَ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينَ. Most certainly, I will help you. Most certainly, I will take revenge on your behalf, even if it be after some time. We may think we oppressed a person today, and we got away for 5 years, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, but one day is going to come back. As you say in English, what goes around comes around. You did it now, you thought you got away, but most certainly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Sami' basir, khabir, alim, knows everything, fully informed. And when that time comes, when that intiqam, when that revenge comes from Allah's side, in different forms, and one wonders where it came from and what happened. Before it's too late, let us fast rewind. We say we fast forward. We put fast forward on our devices. Fast rewind. Where we went wrong, what oppression we did, where that person, mazloom, oppressed person, could be our wife, our children, our husband, our parents, could be anyone. How we oppressed them and sort the matter out in whichever form is supposed to be sorted out, the correct way, Islamic way, and resolve it before that baddua of that person affects us in life. Allah Ta'ala promises a mazloom and oppressed person, I will definitely help you even if it be after some time. Now one may wonder, when we say a person is fasting, his du'as are accepted. Also a oppressed person, his du'as are accepted. Like that we find parents' du'as are accepted for their children. Many times we have this thought, and many people ask us this question, that when you say du'as are accepted, we made so many du'as in our life while we are fasting. How many parents are making du'as for their children? Like that we made du'a in Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif, like that many other Mubarak and very blessed times. We pray to Allah, supplicate to Allah, we made du'a to Allah. But we don't see the results of the du'a. What is meant by dua being accepted? I may have explained this hadith some while ago, but just on the topic of dua, we'll just mention it quickly and continue with what else is left for us to speak today about Ramadan, in which Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man min Muslim yad'u bi da'wa, laysa fiha ithm, wala qati'atu rahim, illa a'taahu Allah biha ihda thalath, imma an yu'ajjala lahu da'watahu, aw yu'akhkhira fi al-ukhra, aw yasrifa 'anhu min su'i mithlaha." That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when a person makes dua to Allah, and his du'as are of good things, nothing sinful, nothing incorrect to make dua for, nothing where he makes dua for cutting off family ties, any sinful act, Allah Ta'ala answers his dua in one of the three ways. Imma ay yu'ajjala lahu da'watahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer his dua within a very short time, immediately within a short time. What he asked for, within a short time, immediately you get it. Second way, يُؤَخْرَ لَوْ فِي الْأُخْرَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delays the acceptance of his dua to latter part in his life, in his world, or in Jannah. Many prophets of Allah, Nabis, Anbiya, prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they made dua to Allah, they prayed to Allah, they supplicated to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the du'as after 30 years. Not 1 year, not 2 years, 30 years. But they persisted and continued asking Allah. Continued knocking on the door of Allah. Some were 30, some were 50, some were 80 years. Certain prophets of Allah made dua to Allah for children. He was barren, his wife was barren for a long time. After 80 years, obviously they lived for long lives at that time. Long durations in the world. After 80 years, you got a first child. So like that, du'as can be accepted after a long time in this world. Or it can be even given to us in Jannat. That is why Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when a person إِذَا دَخَلَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ الْجَنَّةِ, when people enter Jannat, paradise, they will see such huge rewards and thawab given to them in Jannat. That person will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, أَتَمْزَحُ بِي, are you really serious that you're giving me so much? I don't deserve so much. I haven't been so pious in the world. I haven't done so much of good, but you are giving me so much in paradise and Jannah. Such plentiness and plentitude. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply to him, O my Jannati, O my Banda, O my servant. What you did and was accepted, you are being rewarded for. But you see the extras you've been given. All the extras, the bonuses, the extras you got, which we all look forward to in this world also. But you see these extras you've been given. It is in exchange and in lieu of all those du'as, prayers and supplications you've made in this world. And you thought and assumed that they were not accepted and not given to you in this world. I kept it in store for you in Jannat and now I'm giving it to you in Jannat. When this Jannat you will see how great are the rewards, the magnanimity, the greatness, the plentiness of the rewards there in Jannat and Paradise. He will then desire in his heart, which is too late. But at that time he will desire in his heart, how nice every dua I made in this world was not given to me there, was kept for me in Jannat. Because the rewards will be so great. So what we understand, no dua is ever rejected and goes to waste as long as the conditions are fulfilled. When the conditions are fulfilled, the dua never goes to waste. You say when a person is fasting, he makes dua. Time of iftar, he makes dua. The angel is saying, Ameen. Doesn't go to waste. If you're not given immediately, you'll be given later. Whether in this world or in Jannah. That's the second way. And the third way, where your dua will be accepted in a different form. Oh, yasrifu anhu min as-su'i mithlaha. Where, the hadith says in Arabic, I quoted the text, where you made dua for something. For some purpose, for some need. But that was not given to you. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala diverted, removed, averted some calamity, some problem, some predicament, some sickness, some difficult situation was supposed to befall you. But through the barakat of dua you made and prayer you made for something else, that was removed. What's the use? A person made dua for so much of wealth. Person said, Oh Allah, give me so much of wealth and rizq and barakat, etc. And he's given that. But the calamity then comes, the sickness, the accident, the problem, the robbery, the hijacking and something that befalls him. And everything is gone. What's the use? If he was not given that, but rather the calamity does not befall him, what's the use of having so much and then having problems after that? Like that, a person can make dua for so many things. For prosperity, for his business to flourish, for so many things to happen. But if that calamity is going to befall him, what's the use after that? So we do not know what is best for us. We believe Allah is Hakim, full of wisdom. When He is full of wisdom, He knows what's best for us at what time. He knows what is best for us at what time. If we maybe we prayed and made dua and supplicated to Allah for a certain need, but was not given to us, something else was removed to the barakah of that dua. He knows what's best for us. So we need to continue. Our job is to continue praying. Continue supplicating in Ramadan, out of Ramadan at all times. End of the day, it's up to Allah to decide what's best for us in His infinite wisdom and His knowledge. So that is about Ramadan and dua. Let us come back to the last part. We'll conclude on this part of keeping in mind what I spoke about last week. I just touched on the topic of the purpose of Ramadan and fasting. I mentioned last week about taqwa. Allah's consciousness. This should be manifested and become avowed and clear in every facet and walk of our life. Today we've limited What I want to speak about today in the last few minutes is we've limited taqwa. Allah's consciousness and fear is only limited to Ramadan. You'll see the masjid's full, you'll see the dressing change, you'll see the charities increase. So many good things happen only in Ramadan. Some people limited only to a certain time. Certain people limited only to certain actions in their life. Only my prayers within the masjid, within the musalla, within a certain time, the person becomes conscious of Allah. When it comes to other aspects in his life, that ingredient, important ingredient is not found. This ingredient of taqwa. Remember, taqwa must be in every facet, every walk of our life. Generally, Islam and Sharia has 5 branches, generally. We'll go through it quick in the limited time we have. One is of our aqaid, our beliefs. What Allah Ta'ala wants us to believe at what time? I just spoke about the aspect of Allah being Hakim, full of wisdom. Like that, many other beliefs you're supposed to have. Whether it be about the dunya, the world, about Jannat, about paradise, about qabr, about the grave, about the prophets, about the angels, about the sahaba, radiallahu anhum, their stages, etc. So, taqwa and Allah Ta'ala's consciousness becomes apparent and becomes dominant upon us with regards to our beliefs in every aspect. Secondly, ibadat, our acts of worship, whether it be our charities, whether it be our prayers, whether it be our salah and namaz, whether it be our zakat, what is the correct way of giving zakat. We find so many people do not know the laws of zakat. They just merely have a small box that they are just giving out to anyone and everyone comes at the business or at the shop and their office, and that they think that's their zakat. How much to be given, when to be given, how to be given, who to give it to. We find so much of ignorance with regards to this matter. So whether it be our ibadat, whether it's our umrah, our hajj, our charities, our namaz, our in any form, in every form, our acts of worship, Allah Ta'ala's taqwa and His fear and His consciousness becomes dominant upon us when we're practicing upon those things also. Third being, mu'amalat, our dealings. At that time, Allah Ta'ala's consciousness, I am entrusted, for example, as being the manager of a certain store. I have to open a certain time, close at a certain time. I have to see to so many responsibilities. My employer, my boss is not there. He may not be watching me all the time. But I have to be concerned of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watching me at that time. Same when it comes to buying, selling, taking of loans, making promises. When it comes to so many other matters of inheritance, partnerships, that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, لا يكون العبد تقيا حتى يحاسب نفسه كما يحاسب شريكه من أين مطعمه ومن أين مشربه ومن أين ملبسه وكما قال. That a person will be truly pious and have taqwa in his life, which is the purpose of fasting, when he takes stock of himself. When he takes account and takes stock of himself, like how he will take stock and take account of his partner. He will find out about his partner. Where his partner bought this certain item from? How is he living? What shares is he taking? What amount is he taking from the business? Like that, how he'll audit him? How he'll be worried about that? He worry about himself more than worrying about his partner. So whether it be our dealings, when it comes to our interaction with people, our dealings, Muslim, non-Muslim, our partnerships, our worlds, our business dealings, economics, finances, even there too, taqwa must be found, which is the purpose of fasting. So, whether it be first our belief, second being our actions of piety and worship, our namaz, salah, charities, etc. Third, our dealings. Very, very important. Are we speaking the lies, speaking truth? What are we speaking? Fourth being mu'asharat. How we interact with people. How we live in a community. Would our neighbors, would Muslim, non-Muslims, would customers, would people around us, how do we live? And fifth being akhlaq. Character. What type of character do we have? Do we truly have the character and akhlaq of a Muslim? Where a person can say, this is a Muslim different to a non-Muslim. where we find today so commonly. How many people will say this? It's something so common. Where even a Muslim will tell us, I'd rather deal with a non-Muslim than dealing with a Muslim today. So common today. Because of akhlaq and character not being found in our dealings. Do we oppress our workers? Do we squeeze the blood out of them and not even pay them those extras? Those people that are owing us funds, are we oppressing them? Those people who we are owing funds to, our creditors, are we paying them on time? Are we stretching them unnecessarily with no valid excuse acceptable to them? So taqwa and Allah Ta'ala's consciousness must be avowed and evident in all these five aspects. And that encompasses our entire life. As I said, our beliefs, our acts of worship, third being our dealings with people, mu'amalat, our mu'asharat, our social interaction with people in society, and fourth being our character. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat that we adopt this quality of taqwa in every facet and every walk of our life. And make the best of the month of Ramadan in terms of one is our acts of worship, our tilawat of Quran Sharif, our dua as I spoke about Rabbah, dua in between. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhtar, alhamdulillah.